Hello to all of you who are being guided by unknown lights. This is episode 19 of The Legend of PJ Famicom. We're going to talk about some of my songs that were randomly chosen by my computer. Just last night I was finishing up some vocals for my next Super Famicom album. It was going to be called All Deep Cuts, but it's instead going to be called Only Deep Cuts. I still haven't ordered tapes of my album Balrogs, so I'm going to do that before releasing the next thing. I actually plan on releasing a few tapes for other solo projects, including a split I'm doing with my friend Noah Eagle, which is currently in production. My solo project for that tape is a fake band called Menards, playing true Midwestern emo. Today's first song is called Won't Know Better from The Wandering Floret Part 7. I guess for that part of the Wandering Floret octology, I wanted to use my most experimental and thrown-together songs that didn't fit with any of the other sets. That's why I chose Part 7 to be released on my own label, PJ Records. Encouraging hope that the other 7 CDs might sell more copies. Regarding the nature of the song, Won't Know Better. I've spent too much time wondering why it is most musicians choose to play in bands and release music. Is it more for the attention than for the sake of creating something that needs to exist? Why might any band, you speculate, make a conscious decision to sound so much like another, more popular group, if they don't intend to expand their capabilities beyond the very basics of another musician's chosen comfort zone? How can I believe these hacks even love to play? Why should I support anyone's endeavor to do something they don't even love? Some of these bands I used to play shows with, these songwriters, had access to such great musicians. And how did they get so good at such a young age, these other great musicians? And their gear was so professional. But they never learned how to use music to express the things that existed only within themselves. And I wonder if that is why they quit. Once they become popular enough to find a more impressive romantic partner, who may or may not provide more adequate sex. As if aside from that, nothing is worth doing if it won't lead to a more impressive paycheck. I shouldn't be so cynical. They've probably found something more meaningful than writing music in their shiny careers and the infinitely profitable business of exploiting instead of healing and creating the pieces of music that often make life livable for weirdos like them. Maybe they're waiting for inspiration instead of creating their own inspiration in every empty space. Maybe they don't know how to do that. It took me 20 minutes to write and record this song, and I had one of the best times of my life. And maybe you won't know better.
The charm went with the charisma, out after the confidence, when I was too drunk to ask either where they went. At the rate I'm going, how's anyone supposed to fall for me like a trick? Someone's gotta fall for it. Now my looks are starting to go with my sleep and exercise. I chose the privacy I found in staying up all night. It's not so easy to get known enough for you to find me and get hurt. Maybe you won't know better.
I had another solo project called Diamond Famicom. It was intended to be gothic metal, I guess. I played electric guitar along with electronic instruments, reveling in the absence of pressure to make fake drums sound like real drums. I had the backing tracks on my tiny MP3 player with the metronome playing in the left channel. The right channel was plugged into Jake Durden's keyboard amp. And I would just practice my set right there in the living room. It didn't matter that other people were just hanging around. I had to practice, and they had to live with it because we all agreed the ability to create music was more important than the ability to follow the audio of a specific VHS tape in such a specific place and time. Well, at least in my mind, I believed that we'd all agreed to it, so I did go ahead and practice for a while. Our second song today is called Your Gaze Upon Me. It's mostly about a cyst I had for years. Sometimes I would get up from laying on the floor, and walking would be so painful. I would lurch down our creepily long hallway to the bathroom, among my 7 roommates. Pretty much everything I did at that point in my life was visible and up for discussion. Privacy was a luxury far beyond my grasp, so fuck everyone. One time I tried to jam this song with my friend Chris Greer. He had an interest in playing what I silently agreed could be considered PJ metal. Chris had a Zoom multi-effects pedal, and I was playing with whatever other guitar amp was around, which was Jacob Hamilton's PV-renowned 212. It was a great amp, but it didn't put out a very juicy metal tone without any pedals, and I didn't have any pedals. So Chris's tones sounded so much more metal than mine. His playing was so fluid, and the action on his guitar was so slick. While every day I secretly lamented my choice in buying a Kramer with a Floyd Rose. Diamond Famicom, as I had planned it, never did a gig. So I recorded this song for my 2010 album, The Diamond Rainbow. It is Your Gaze Upon Me! Diamond Famicom, I did an album called 12 Movements, recorded in 2012 in my parents' basement. This song, The Conjuring, I initially tried jamming it with Eli Newman, with hopes that maybe, just maybe, we could get a very cavolt black metal band together in central Illinois. I decided it would be more worthwhile to instead make a solo album. The new Diamond Famicom was more black metal, with no intention of ever doing a show. I think the songs on the album are all good, but I don't think they are evil enough to gain acceptance in any sort of black metal scene. Even the scene of friendless metal nerds who record albums in their parents' basement, just like I'd been doing. Even the name Diamond Famicom doesn't sound very evil at all. It didn't matter. I just wanted to make music that was sad and monumentally beautiful and filthy. And for the sad memories, by Diamond Famicom, this is The Conjuring. very pleased at how well the randomly chosen tracks on this episode have led into each other. Our fourth track today is called Typical, from Super Famicom's 2012 album, Punishing the Faithful. It's about feeling like my capacity for having fun had become permanently damaged based on the burden of my creative potential. It wasn't my first or last song about this. However, I think I figured out how to have a good time in ways that are meaningful and productive, actually. I don't have to keep writing songs about this same stuff, even if the vocals do come out really nice and the keyboard voice sounds really cool and the whole whimsical jamming vibe is actualized just so. You can write a song about anything from your unique personal experiences, and if you do it right, your underlying theme and message will find a way to shine through. I never again need to waste my time returning to this typical attitude that productivity can only ever come at the cost of eventual fun and happiness. To you, my unknown light that guides me, let these words be typical.
And actively, it's impossible for me not to be let down when I know what I've done, never having the fun you have when reminded of what I'm capable of. So typical, so typical, so typical, so typical. So angrily, I will find more words to see, getting less like you and less like anyone, never having the fun of what I'm capable of. So typical, so typical, so typical, so typical.
Song today is called Drawing Figures with Faces, from my 2006 album The Inside Voices. Just a couple episodes ago, we listened to a song called More Lost Than Ever Found from the same album. That was track 11 out of 16. Today we're listening to track 12. So we are one step closer to the bottom of my inner self, following the journey of The Inside Voices. You might consider it one of Super Famicom's most atmospheric jams. The lyrics were mainly inspired by Mars, the 90s manga series by Fuyumi Sorio. There is a scene where female protagonist Kira is threatened by the school bullies. She loves to draw, and the bullies threaten to break her hands. She says if they do, she will learn to draw with her feet. If they break her feet, she will learn to draw with her mouth. The scene struck a chord with me. At times I've wondered whether or not I really do love playing music when prone to unrealistic expectations. It is not the only thing I want to do. If I was no longer able to perform and play instruments, I'm sure I'd just get into writing music in a way that doesn't require me to play anything. Heck, I've always wanted to spend more time on video game music. But playing instruments is a lot more fun than making sequences and making those sequences just right. Even if I went deaf, I would put more time into writing stories. Who hasn't at a time dreamt of being a novelist and creating their own world full of people they want to see, reflecting the problems we see in our own world and providing the kind of justice we wish could exist where we are? Anyway, I'm starting to feel vain, talking about myself so much. From the inside voices, this is Drawing Figures with Faces. Thanks for listening to my show again. Next time we're going to talk about songs from Perilous, Balrogs, My Split with Fire Island AK, Don't Open Till 7 O'Clock, and The Diamond Rainbow.